Well, friends, welcome. So glad that you are here tonight to worship together on this Christmas Eve. And I know that some of you are here all the time, but I know that there's others of you who are hardly ever here. Maybe this is even your first time. And in that as well, there's probably some of you who are really excited to be here, and there's probably some of you who wish you were anywhere but here. Some of you maybe got dragged kicking and screaming to get here, trying to make mom happy or someone happy. But here we are. Some of you may feel really close to God tonight. Some of you may feel really far from God. Some of you may believe everything we sing and pray and read and speak tonight. And others of you may think it's the greatest sham in all of history. But here we are. In this place, on this night, together. And I believe that God wants to do something glorious tonight among us. And so no matter where you are on that spectrum, no matter how you are feeling tonight, I hope that you would open your hearts and your lives to experience what God would have for you. And I invite you to be a part of what God is doing among us here at First Presbyterian Church Fresno, not just on Christmas Eve. But it turns out with terrific regularity, we worship on Sundays here. And there's a lot of other things going on outside of Sundays. So if you don't have a church home of your own, I invite you to come and be a part of what God is doing here, because surely He is at work among us. Let's pray now as we prepare to hear His word. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You so much for tonight and the chance to gather with friends and with family to celebrate, as Megan has already prayed. We thank You for the gift of Jesus and the gift of Your word that You give to us, the gift of sharing it together, the gift of hearing the good news again and again and again. And I pray tonight that You will help me to speak Your words, not my own, and that You, God, by Your Spirit, will take what I say and customize it for each set of ears that are within hearing tonight, so that Your word would penetrate. Not just that we would know interesting things or kind of tune out the story that we've heard 100 times, but that we would be transformed and changed from experiencing together Your glory tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one of the words that we've used a lot tonight is the word glory. I wonder, when you hear the word glory, what do you think about? One of the things I think about when I think about glory is I think about how I used to dream so much of achieving athletic glory. Did anyone ever dream of achieving athletic glory? And of course, I played that out in my mind a ton. One of the places that I did that so many times, and I can't even tell you how many times I did it, was out at the basketball hoop at my parents' house. I'd be out there all by myself, and I played through over and over and over the last seconds of a championship game. And it turns out that my team always won. We'd be down by a few points, right? And the clock is winding down. And then they get the ball to Vaccaro in the corner. 3, 2, 1. He'd shoot. He scores. They win. They win. And the crowd goes wild. Oh. Normally, I was by myself. I didn't have a whole choir to sing with me. That was awesome. What do you think about when you think about glory? You know, maybe you think about one of your favorite movies. Or maybe you think about one of your favorite songs, a piece of music. Maybe you think about a piece of art that is moving for you. Many of you I know, if you're like me, you think about creation. You think about a majestic mountain, or maybe an amazing sunset, or a double rainbow. What do you think about when you think about the word glory? On a night like tonight, you're probably thinking about an angelic host that appears and saying in one big voice, glory to God in the highest. And that's a good thing to think about when you think about the word glory. But I wonder if any of us, when we think about glory, are quick to think of a little newborn baby boy lying in a manger, in a food trough, with his young parents. because that is actually the true and simple glory of Christmas. Although when you read the Gospel of Luke, you might miss it at first, because Luke gives a very simple description of when Jesus is actually born. He simply says, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And as I thought about that, I know that that's a little different than some of the glory stories that we tell about childbirth in our culture, right? Stories about hours and hours of labor, or death threats to loving husbands, or massive babies, or all kinds of other heroics. Right? We love to tell a glorious story about birth. But Jesus, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, gets one sentence. The time came for him to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And then, on top of that, that firstborn son, gets placed in a manger because there was no room upstairs in the guest room. You see, the drama in Luke's gospel that Margie read tonight isn't really at the birth scene. The drama is really out in the fields nearby with some of the most inglorious people of the first century, the shepherds. You see, the story was rich with drama for the shepherds. Imagine being out there with them that night. Can you just go there in your mind's eye? You're sitting out in the middle of the night, the sheep have all bedded down. You're sitting around the campfire with the group, and you're talking about, I don't know, shepherd stories. And then out of nowhere, an angel appears among you. And not just an angel, but the glory of God shines down around you. And if you were there, you would have freaked out just like the shepherds did. But in the midst of their fear, the angel said, don't be afraid, because he didn't bring a message of fear. He brought good news of great joy. He said to them, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And he hasn't been born in some faraway palace or some inaccessible fortress, but he's been born right here in your city of Bethlehem. In fact, he said, you will find him. He wasn't in some place that the shepherds couldn't go. He was in a place that even they could go and see him for themselves. And then, if their minds weren't kind of blown enough by the angel and the light shining down from heaven, what happened next? What happened next? A whole host of angels showed up, right? The sky was full. A multitude shows up. And they speak with one voice, praising God and speaking in what must have been the most incredible, thunderous sound. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. It must have been an amazing, glorious, incredible scene out in those rocky fields near Bethlehem. You see, there isn't much outward sign of glory at the birth scene. It just seems to be a simple birth. But the angel and the heavenly host make sure that we know, even if that seems simple, they make sure we know something incredibly important. And that is this: something big is happening in the little town of Bethlehem tonight. They're saying with one voice, God, glory to God in the highest. Because they know exactly what's happening. They know that God is initiating his plan for redemption. This baby born to Mary, that's wrapped in cloth and placed in a manger, is the Savior. He is the Christ. He is the Lord, because he is Emmanuel. He is God with us in the flesh. The scripture calls him the eternal Word of God. The scripture says he's the visible image of the invisible God, that he is the one through whom all things were created. You see, the heavenly host says glory because they see clearly what God is doing. They know that all the glory of heaven is wrapped up in this little baby boy lying in a feed trough. He is worthy of all their praise and even more. His glory reaches to the highest of heaven. But you know what? His glory also reaches to the lowest places as well. Because not only is Jesus' birth a humble one, but God chooses the shepherds to be bearers of the good news of great joy. Think about that. God chose shepherds. He didn't choose the Bethlehem mayor or the civil authorities. He didn't choose the priests or the religious leadership. He didn't choose anyone in the upper class or the wealthy or the powerful. No, he chose shepherds. And you see, shepherds, though they have a great place in our narrative on Christmas, they were not held in great esteem in their time. Shepherds were dirty. Shepherds were stinky. Shepherds were rough around the edges. You didn't want your daughter to bring home a shepherd. There was nothing glorious about being a shepherd. They were undesirable people working in an undesirable job. But God, in one of the most important nights in all of history, chooses them. He chooses the lowly. And that, friends, is just a glimpse of the way that things will be when Jesus' kingdom is fully realized. Jesus is going to turn the world right side up. He's going to offer his blessings, not on the rich, but on the poor. And onto those who are mourning. And to those who are hungry. And to those who are persecuted. You see, that heavenly host, they show that Jesus' glory reaches to the highest places, even though he's just this little baby. But choosing the shepherd shows that his glory also reaches to the lowest places as well. Because of Jesus' birth, God on that night is glorified in the highest and in the lowest. And it's not just true of that night in Bethlehem. It's true of this night in Fresno, California. You see, Jesus' birth isn't just a neat little story from the past. His birth marks a new chapter in God's epic story of redemption that is still being played out. God's overarching work of salvation. It's cosmic in its impact. It is transcendent in its, whatever, in its just category. It's huge. It's huge. And yet, it's personal. Because the angel said to the shepherds, a Savior born to you. A Savior born to you. Friends, he is born to you who are lowly. He is born to you who are brokenhearted tonight. He is born to you who are grieving. He is born to you who are out of work. He is born to you who are desperate. Born to you who are struggling. Born to you who are lonely. Born to you who are hurting. Born to you who are longing for something more. He is born to you. God sent the one and only Son, not just because he loved the whole world, but because he loves you. And he wants you to be in a transformational relationship with him. You see, Jesus is the one who made that possible. He showed the world who God is and how to live God's way. And then he submitted himself to death on a cross of shame. But it wasn't his shame that he was bearing. It was your shame and my sin and your sin and our brokenness. And the scriptures say that God made him who had no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Imagine that. The lowly becoming the righteousness of God. Jesus died so that we might have right relationship with God. But his love was too strong for the grave to hold him down. On the third day, he rose from the dead to conquer death's sting. And now that one that so many years before and so many years ago tonight, that the heavenly, for whom the heavenly host showed up and sang glory, that one who the shepherds hurried off to find with Mary, just as the angel had told them, that one is now sitting enthroned on high, waiting to return and bring his kingdom and his glory and his will on earth as it is in heaven. You see, Jesus is glorified. He is glorified whether we gather tonight or not. He is glorified in the highest and he is glorified in the lowest. The question is, friends, will he be glorified in you? Will he be glorified in your life, in your actions, in your words? Because when he's glorified in you, that's how you can experience the peace and the joy that he came to bring. That's how you can participate in his work of that redeeming transformation that he is bringing through Christ. That's how you can be and maintain that right relationship with him by his grace. To glorify Jesus means to honor him with praise and with adoration and with worship. It means to receive from him what only he can give, his grace and his forgiveness and his call. It means to entrust your life to him. It means putting your faith in him and living for him. Friends, the good news is this, that anyone, even as lowly as shepherds, anyone who puts their faith in Christ Jesus will be saved, will be given a new identity, will be given new life, will be changed forever. Hallelujah. To glorify God is really the only way to respond once you come to understand truly the incredible grace that is shown to you by God. That God hasn't forgotten you, that God has heard your prayers, that God loves you, that God has a purpose for your life, that God sent a Savior to you. Will you glorify him? It's what Elizabeth did when God opened up her barren womb to give her a son, even in her old age, a son who would then go ahead and prepare the way for the Messiah. It's what Mary did when she went to visit Elizabeth after the angel had visited her and heard Elizabeth speak blessing over her life and confirm what the angel had told her in private about the Savior that was growing in her. It's what Zechariah did when his son was finally born and his mouth was finally opened up to speak. His first words were words of praise. He glorified God. And on that night, when it was finally time, when the fullness of God's plan had come into fruition for it to happen, that night, the heavens broke out in praise and saying glory to God in the highest. And then, when all of that was done, there's this great line in the text that says, the shepherds did it too. You see, after the angels had left them, the shepherds didn't simply stay in the fields. Wow, that was cool. They didn't simply stay there and evaluate how good or not the worship service was. They went. They said to one another, "Let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. Let's confirm with our own lives what we have heard." And then they hurried off. They didn't delay. They didn't wait until their stuff was in order. They didn't wait until the busyness of the holidays had passed. They didn't even wait till morning. They hurried off in the middle of the night to investigate for themselves what they had heard. And then finally, they found him. And when they found him, he was lying in a manger, just like the angel said he would. You see, it wasn't a dream. It wasn't a false vision. It wasn't a lie. It was true. It was real. It surely was a Savior born to them. It was good news of great joy. And so they couldn't help themselves. They spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. They shared it with Mary and with Joseph and whoever else they could find. But then kind of when the excitement wore off and they kind of felt like, well, maybe we should go back. The scripture says that they returned to the fields, but they returned different. Do you remember what it says? They returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. They were transformed from their encounter with Jesus. Friends, in a few days, the glory of Christmas festivities is going to fade. The decorations will come down and life will return to normal. But still, Jesus, the Savior, the Christ, and the Lord will be glorified in the highest and in the lowest. May He also be glorified in you. Don't just tip your hat to Him tonight and then wait until Easter to worship Him again. If you don't know Him, then I invite you, go and see. Investigate for yourself who He is and what He's about. And if you do know Him, then don't just put Him in a little part of your life that feels comfortable to you. He is Christ, the Lord, the Savior, glorified in the highest, glorified in the lowest. Make Him the center of your life. Joyfully submit your whole self to Him, your everyday, regular, ongoing life. And as you glorify Him, experience all that He has for you. May we be a people in this year who glorify Jesus, not just tonight, but every night, for His kingdom to come and His will to be done. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are among us, that by Your Spirit You are here. We thank You that You are being glorified in the highest and the lowest, and we pray that by Your Spirit You will be glorified in us. God, may we reorient our lives by Your Spirit to give You all the praise and all the glory that You deserve. Surely You are the Mighty One who has done a great thing. And You are the Savior born to us to save. Be glorified in us now, tonight and every night. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.